raise my hand, I had to join the audio by computer. I'll try to be brief. I really appreciate Colin's remarks about being more transparent in reporting the implant modeling results. However, I'd like to suggest a couple of areas where ODEQ can provide more granular results going forward. And the first area is implant is capable, and one of its outputs shows how different income classes can be affected by a policy such as the cap and reduce rule. And since environmental and economic justice has been an important consideration as part of this rulemaking process, you know, I strongly recommend that ODEQ and ICF provide the RAC and the public with the implant results showing the distributional impacts of the cap and reduce rule on each income class. That's an output of implant and is readily available. And I would really think that should be shown or provided to the RAC and the public. Second, the implant model also reports gross state product, income, and employment by four-digit NAICS code. And to date, we've only seen the results of that presented by statewide. And if one of the objectives in hiring ICF to run the implant model was originally to analyze the economic effects of the cap and trade rule on regulated industries, businesses, and consumers, and the Oregon economy, then I really would implore ODEQ and ICF to report these economic metrics by four-digit NAICS code. That will provide you with the granularity that's needed to understand how individual industries are impacted by the rule. And I think that would contribute greatly to the RAC and public understanding of what the economic impacts will be. And you've got the tool, you've got a great tool in Implan. I highly recommend that you use the full output of the model to inform this process.
Thank you so much, Jeff. All right, let's go to Morgan, and then I believe Dan is joining by phone. So Dan, we'll go to you. And Morgan?
Hi, thank you so much. I just wanted to echo some previous comments. One, I'm sorry, I'm with Shell Energy. I don't think I mentioned that. To reduce the threshold limit on fuel suppliers to the 25,000. Also, to utilize, you know, existing programs like the WCI nonprofit that was mentioned to facilitate trading, and also, you know, linkage with potential other partners and programs in the region. I think expanding trading, to Steve's point, is going to be really important in order to make this an efficient market and, you know, achieve economies of scale, linking with other jurisdictions. And we'll submit written comments as well, but just wanted to make those comments here. Thank you.
Thank you, Morgan. And Dan, are you here by phone?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you so much. This is Dan Sears. I'm the Conservation Director with Columbia Riverkeeper. I'm also the policy lead for the Power Pass Frack Gas Coalition. And I just want to start by thanking everyone here. I've learned a lot today, listening to your questions to each other. This is a big generational decision and program, and I just really appreciate the effort that everyone is putting in to think us through. I really want to start by supporting comments made by Ali and Oriana previously about whether equity is as central to this conversation as it should be. And when DEQ went out in town halls and met with people all over Oregon last fall, there was this really strong presentation of equity values as really central to this. And so much of the conversation that I've heard today has been focused on efficiency and cost-saving measures for the biggest polluters in Oregon, including letting them exit the program entirely, whether through an exemption like a fracked gas power plant not being regulated to the electricity sector, or other big polluters like compressor stations not being addressed. All of this really risks setting up a program that folks won't buy into. And so I want to appreciate that again and again, there have been requests here to show our work, show your work, DQ, to explain what assumptions lead you to believe that this program will result in reducing greenhouse gas emission impacts and co-pollutant impacts in the communities that are most vulnerable. And for Columbia Riverkeeper and our members and our communities that we organize in, this is really the core question that we just keep bringing it back to over and over. The exemption for fracked gas power plants is, I think, one of the most galling challenges here, because it really just unbalances the whole program. And it makes everyone question whether, if we're committing to, you know, a decade or more of fossil fuel powered pollution in the Columbia Basin airshed, is that really solving the problem that we were sent here to address? And for those who have raised this question, I just want to say, you know, I found this, some parts of the conversation today confusing, and I really appreciate everyone who asked questions to probe for more clarity. You know, I think if the burden of this program ends up falling on frontline communities or, you know, greenhouse growers or the smaller voices in the room, that will be a disservice to Oregon and really not what folks thought they were getting when they got into this. So thank you for your time and your effort. And I look forward to submitting written comments with others here.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate that. And let's go to Sierra Bell, and that's probably our last public comment today. So Sierra, over to you.
Hi, thank you. So my name is Sierra. I'm a high school student in Coos County, and I believe it's critical that this committee include the electric sector and the greenhouse gas emission rules for Oregon. The largest polluters in our state are fracked gas power plants, and they should not be excluded from these regulations. It is clear
our need to transition to
renewable sources for the health of our state, including these top electricity producers and renewable energy.
I think with your video off, it's getting a little bit better. It was a little hard to hear you, but why don't you keep going? Thank you so much for the comments.
Okay, cool. Including these top electricity producers and polluters in the greenhouse gas rules will encourage the necessary shift to renewable energy grid. We will never move away from this energy source until we learn the true price of burning fossil fuels. I am the future, and my generation has to deal with the decisions that are being made now. Not including the top polluters doesn't mean they'll just go away. They are badly impacting our communities and environment, and the communities being impacted most are rural communities like mine, as well as low-income and minority communities. Please ensure that these polluters are being held accountable for the sake of my future and all others. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sierra, for bringing your voice into the conversation. All right. Well, I think that's all the public comment for today. Thanks, everyone, for those great comments, and Sierra for joining us too. As a high school student, always great to hear from the younger voices. So thank you, everyone, for your participation, RAC members and the public, and we will see you all at the next RAC meeting, and looking forward to it. Have a great rest of your afternoon and extra 22 minutes of your life back.
Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks, all.